Morning, good morning. The cuteness just goes off the charts when Jay does news for us, doesn't it? Thank you guys so much for serving. Good morning, everybody. How you feeling today? Good, good, good. There's a great energy in here again, and I really, really enjoy it. Thank you for bringing that energy. I want to welcome all of those who are tuning in at Church Online. We're really thankful and enthused that you are a part of our church family, even from a distance. I know that there are so many reasons why you choose to be online, or it's your only option, but I want you to know that we consider you a part of everything we do. You are a part of our family, and we just love, 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 and appreciate you. Welcome in. Come on, give it up, everybody, for those joining us online. Love you guys. All right. So listen, today we are going to get into our fourth and final installment of a sermon series that we've been calling Decisive Direction. Decisive Direction. And we've been talking about how God will oftentimes send us into decisive directions for our lives. And then we believe, based on scripture, that God oftentimes will allow us to choose a decisive direction for our lives. If that sounds intriguing to you and you've missed any of those installments, you can go find all those messages back on our website, cotr.live, or you can find us on our YouTube channel. You can just search Church on the Rock, St. Augustine, and you'll find us, all right? And then you can get us there. But listen, before we get into that today, I'm super excited to land the plane and wrap this series up. But before we get into that, there's some sort of fun stuff that I want to do. Is that okay? How many of you guys like fun? This weekend is a really, really fun weekend. It's filled with love and romance. Do you feel it? Just hang out for a second. You feel that? That's love and that's romance right there. And so here's what I want to do today. Later today, a couple of really essential and amazing members of our team are going to be getting married, everybody. And yeah. And so we're really excited about it. I just want to show you who they are. Many of you know them, but this is Aaron and Anastasia. Yep, on the screen behind me as well. And so here in just a few hours, they're gonna stop living their individual lives and they're gonna start living their lives together as a couple as they unite in marriage. We're just really excited about that, really thankful for the opportunity. I'm gonna be there to witness it and be a part of it. I'm super, super excited. So and here in a few hours, they will be the newliest weds in our church, which is pretty exciting. But I told you the weekend has been filled with love. Come on, right? And romance, all right? And so what you're going to see right now is that like the newliest weds to be happening here in just a few hours in our church. But I actually want to celebrate with some amazing people that call this church their home, and they have for more than 20 years. But I want to show you another picture. Here's some of our church family, everybody. This is Art and Alice Oling right here. Yep. This past Friday, they celebrated their 66th wedding anniversary. 66 years. 66. That's a long time. And here's what I know, that you guys are tuning in online this morning, and we want you to know that we love you. We are so proud of you. Happy anniversary. Come on, let's give it up loud and loud and loud. Congratulations. Way cool. So this won't apply to anybody in the room, but online, we're going to create a competition. All right, little competition. The chat is how we're going to determine the winner. We're going to have the cutest couple competition. And if you think it is Aaron and Anastasia, in the chat, you're going to type AA, Aaron, Anastasia. If you think it's Art and Alice, I want you to type AA, Art, Alice. Go. All right. Cute couple, though, isn't it? We'll tell you, we'll give you the results next week, okay? Give you the results. I just thought that was coincidental and wanted to, anyway. All right, let's move on. How many of you guys are ready to receive God's word this morning? All right, good. So I've been really, honestly, I've been absolutely enjoying this series and just everything that God honestly has been doing in me. I say this all the time. I think it's as true today as it's maybe ever been, but I say this all the time. I honestly preach like what I'm living. So I'm a real everyday person that has a real life, like real bills, you know what I'm saying? Like real complication. I drive in the same traffic you do. Come on, pray for us all. I mean, so when I get to communicate the truth of Scripture, I really try my best to just be as real and as practical. We should be able to use it on a Tuesday and a Thursday when it doesn't feel like a church service and we don't have all the support. You know, we're in the world. We're on the mission field, and so I really do my best to try to bring you very, very practical preaching. That's what I like to call it, and that's what I try to do. And I hope, quite honestly, that this series has been beneficial to you, because I think that oftentimes in our lives we're really trying to decide some direction. Like, man, I honestly believe, this is my assumption, and I tend to believe the very best in people, but I honestly believe that most people that follow Christ like really want to do it right. Like, you want to please the Lord. I actually would think that it would be the very, very small minority of people that are trying to fake it, you know, or not really do it authentically. I actually think that most people that are following Christ Jesus want to please the Lord. And so this series has been an attempt to help us walk in his path for our lives. And so we're gonna wrap it up today. And I'm going to title the message today, I'm calling it What and Why. What and Why. And so today, we're going to start with what. So if you missed last week, we made a pretty significant announcement, I guess you would call it. Some things are going to be changing around Church on the Rock, and so we sort of let the cat out of the bag, as they say, last Sunday. So if you missed that, maybe you were out of town or for whatever reason, I'm just going to catch you up real quick on what, all right? What's going on around Church on the Rock? And here's what we announced last week, is that Church on the Rock is expanding. So last week I said moving. I actually think the better word is expanding, that we're actually going to expand into the St. Augustine High School auditorium, which is right next door to us. So if you're online and you've never been here, there's a high school right next door to us. They have a much, much larger auditorium than we do. We continue to fill rooms and more people come. We've been working really, really hard on just growth strategies and the ways that we can serve more people. And so quite frankly, we've decided, look, let's just expand and let's move over to the high school's auditorium where we can begin to serve the amount of people that are attempting to come to our services. And by doing that, we've decided to make our current location a kids' campus. And so our children are in a much smaller building even than we are now. That thing's only about like 12 feet from this one, right? It's right there. But they're in a very, very limited amount of space. And so we have been really working hard to try to get that. They need room. Man, it's amazing what goes on over there. If you've never seen that building, never experienced it, I know that not everyone obviously in our church is a parent or is checking children in over there. It's really amazing. That team is serving our next generation so amazingly well. But they have really been kind of landlocked in a lot of ways, and they just need more real estate. I don't even know how else to describe it. We need more classrooms. We continue to see more kids. We want to serve them well. And so part of the strategy, the expansion strategy, is to also allow them to expand. So they're going to move into some of the space we currently use, like this room, and it's going to give some more rooms next door, because we're going to be able to separate age groups and things like that. And so I'm really, really excited about that. And if that makes you nervous, I'd love to just put you at ease, if I may. If that makes you nervous, just think about it like this, that every single day of the week, moms and dads and guardians are taking their children to daycare centers and schools, and they're dropping them off with people that they trust, that have proven that they take care of their children, and they go off to work and come back and pick them up. That's exactly the kind of the idea that we're gonna create here, is that, hey, we just hope you can trust us. We're gonna have sheriff's deputies on site making sure they're safe. We will have safety team members here. We're gonna do everything in our power to make sure that when you check your children in to our kids' campus, that you will know that they are in good hands. They are well protected. You can enjoy service, come back, they're going to enjoy service, and then you guys can rally up as a family, head home, eat some hot wings. Come on, right? Amen. I don't know, that's like the best Sunday afternoon food, don't you think? Anyway, I do. Anyway, I always want hot wings on Sunday afternoons. I don't get it. Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything, Marcus. Let's move on. Okay, the last thing is this, I didn't really specify this last week. I know there's going to be a lot of questions people are asking and wondering about, but I want you to know this, that our current location, so where we host church now, is really going to become like multi-purpose. So yes, we are going to move into the auditorium of the high school, meaning we're going to have lights and cameras and gear and microphones and instruments and all of that stuff. But here's what I want you to know, that this auditorium will stay exactly intact. In fact, we will take nothing from here. Anything that we do take will get upgraded or replaced by something else, because we will still be using this location for prayer services that happen every single week. We will use this for team nights. We will use this for whatever we may need. So the beauty is that this will not transition so heavily into a kid's campus that it's not going to be good for us too. And so I just want you to know that. So let's just say that there's an event happening at the high school, and we wouldn't be able to use that that place. We'd be able to use this place as well. Does that make sense? And so we are going to maximize what God has given us. The beauty about this property is that we own it outright. So it makes doing ministry here, I don't know how else to say it, except that it makes doing ministry here just very affordable. It's easy. And so we wanted to maintain the opportunity and the right to be able to do things here. So you'll still be here sometimes doing things. Does that make sense, everybody? I just want you to kind of understand the big vision. The ultimate idea is that we see more people on the weekends than we see at anything else that we do. More and more people are coming. And by the way, I know news said it, but thank you, everybody. And I probably should say this in the 11, but for those of you that have made the decision to move into the 11, it has really made more space for our families. Thank you very much. That's just something we would ask. If you can, if it fits your schedule, that'd be great. Once we move next door, obviously we pray and hope that's not an issue anymore. So that's a little bit of the what. Does that make sense? And listen, we're gonna continue to talk about this because I'm sure there's more questions than I've been able to answer in the amount of time that we have. But I just want you to know and understand that like we have really prayed this out. We have thought this out, and we believe this is our best next step. It's not our permanent step. It's just the next step until God opens the door for us to make a permanent move into a larger home that would be ours. Does that sound right? Good, everybody? Yeah, okay, I got two of you. Thank you for being on board. Appreciate that. I'm just kidding. Preachers do that. You know what I mean? Like, you're just trying to listen, and then they're getting on to you for not talking back. It's all right. I love you guys. But I wanted to talk, before I get into the scripture today, I was thinking about this, and I started to put this into prayer, and I felt like the reason that it began to become a thought is because the Holy Spirit was generating that thought. But I just thought about how the Spirit of God moves, right? Not like how it does, but the reality that He moves. And I was just thinking about it in a perspective that like the Holy Spirit moves in people's hearts. He can move in buildings. He can move through technology. He can move through time and space. Like the bottom line is, the point is that the Spirit moves all the time. If you just read through Scripture, like for instance in the creation story, in Genesis, in the very beginning of time, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was like hovering over the waters, like just ready to move. He was present. He was there. Some of you have experienced the Spirit of God move in your life, in your business, in your family, in some way just move in you. Maybe you've been in an atmosphere where you could tangibly, physically feel the move of the Spirit. Maybe you've had something happen internally that forever shifted and changed you, but the reality is that the Spirit moves all the time. Think about this, that one time God chose to speak to a man through a bush that was on fire, but it wasn't burning. Just one time. And He never did that again. One time, Jesus spit on some dirt, and He made it clay, and then He wiped it on a guy's eyes. Now, think how offended you would be if I did that. Just think about it, all right? Just, right? You'd be like, I am never going to that church again. That dude is crazy. And so he wipes this mud that He has made on a man's eyes who all of a sudden, now he can see. But He never did that again. Like, the Spirit moves, and the Spirit's always doing a new thing. And I just want to say that I believe with all my heart that what we are doing is because the Spirit is moving, and we feel that the Spirit has moved us to this decision. Because I'm going to be really, really honest with you. If you've been in the context of our series, like we talked about, sometimes you're at this crossroads. And sometimes God is overwhelmingly calling, like you can't ignore. You know you're hearing from God so strongly pull you into a direction that your move is just obedience. Like, yes, Lord, I'll go. And then the other time is when it's like, I hear nothing. Like, what are you saying? And God's like, I'm with you wherever you go. Like, you decide. What do you want to do? You're empowered to choose, and I'm with you. Let's go. This is how I have felt in this whole decision-making process, quite frankly, about the high school. I mean, begging, praying, God, please, please, please. And I've just felt like God was like, what do you want to do? And I'm going to be really honest. I probably shouldn't say this stuff out loud. But like, this isn't what I wanted to do. I just think it's the best step to take right now. And I feel like God's like, well, I'm with you. I'm with you wherever you go. And so it's strategic, quite honestly. And it's a game plan. But I truly believe that the Spirit is on the move in this church. And what I don't want us to do is get stagnant and just sit around and not do anything. Let's move with the Spirit. Amen, everybody? But I've been saying this too, that if, because I believe it, this is why I've been saying it, that if God is going to do a move in our church, then that means he's going to do a move in you, because you're the church. Not this building or this property, not a high school's auditorium, you. So if God wants to do something in us, he has to do it in you. And so let's go there today, okay? Let's go. I'm going to take you right back where we've been for the last 4 weeks. We've been in Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says, this is all review if you've been a part of any installment. The Bible says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead, which is like, almost sounds harsh, but it's just factual. Hey, he's gone. I honestly think that it's the compassion of the Lord speaking into Joshua's life saying, hey, I know, it's not easy, but it is reality. He's gone. And then he speaks up and he says, therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people. In other words, we got to move. We got to go. I know it's hard. I know that you cared for him, that you loved him. I know that you appreciated him. I know that he was an influential voice in your life, but we got to go. It's time to move. So he says, you're going to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. This is what was known as the Promised Land. And so Joshua's going to be the leader that's going to carry them across this river. In verse 3, I promise you what I promised Moses. Watch, wherever you set your foot, you will be on land that I have given you. Now, a couple of weeks ago, right here, I skipped verse 4. I put dot, dot, dot. How many of y'all remember that? And then I said, come on, where y'all at? You remember that, all right? I can't see you online, but some of you might remember. And there was dot, 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 because I said, well, that's not relevant for today. And then I said, but I might talk about that next week. And then I didn't. And now it's the next week, and I'm going to talk about it, okay? I just felt like there's something in there, and it just took me some time to dig it out. Like, God, what are you trying to say? Praise the Lord. And then the Spirit moved right there. And so I was just digging, like, well, God, what are you trying to say? And I feel like he's revealed it to me. It's for you, okay? So verse 4, and honestly, none of this is going to make sense to us except what's highlighted on the next screen, okay? This is what I want us to pay attention to right here. But he says, everywhere you go, you're going to be on the land that I've given you from the Negev wilderness. And this is where you're like, this would have made a lot of sense to Israel. It doesn't make a lot of sense to us. But I want you to notice, hey, from the south to the north, to the east and to the west. Okay, now in its context, Israel would have understood exactly the land of the Hittites. They'd have been like, oh, yeah, which to where we're like, that doesn't mean anything. What I want you to recognize here is north, south, east, west. And here's what I want to point out is a boundary, like a boundary. And so here's what God was saying, that there's a certain can we call it box, a land, a territory that is for you and these people. This is the land. This is the place. And there's some parameters to it. So there's a limitation to it on the north side. There's a limitation to it on the south side. There's a limitation on the east, and there's a limitation on the west. But this is the place that I want you to go. So Joshua's like, cool, man, got it. Then check this out, and this is where we've really been. This is like the anchor verse of the series. He follows all that up with telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. In fact, he says it 3 times, and at the very end of the chapter, some other voices around Joshua say it again, like, be strong and courageous, strong and courageous. And so he's like, hey, yeah, be strong, be courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, right? And so if you haven't been a part of the series, I've been reading it to our church the way that I hear it in my spirit. Let me do it. Have I not commanded you? So I'm taking this very personally. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Because what we've been talking about, and I know I keep dropping back, I'm just trying to help those that didn't get installments 1 through 3. What we've been really talking a lot about is like that we want, I think we want to please God and we want to go where God wants us to go. But sometimes I think that our indecision will keep us from actually walking out the purpose God has for us. And I think that sometimes we don't move at all because we're afraid to take a step because we're afraid it's the wrong step. When I think that there are times, and again, we talked about it like option A, option B, fork in the road, where sometimes it's so clear, it's so overwhelming that God is like, I'm calling you this direction. And I think we've experienced that, many of us. Like, I can't ignore it. Maybe you don't want to do it or it's scary or whatever, but it's like, okay, God, okay, like, all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so loud. And then there are other times where it's so quiet that you're like, I'll do anything you say, just say something. And I think it's in those moments that Satan, if we're not careful, will keep us stagnant and immobilized because we're just afraid to do the wrong thing. And what we've been trying to empower is that sometimes God's like, wherever you go, I'm with you. Wherever you go. I do, as a parent, I do this with my children. Sometimes I'm like, you decide. I don't know. It's up to you. I don't care. Now, if I thought the decision that they were going to make was going to wreck their lives, as a father, I'd speak up. I do this with my team. There are times where I'm not even going to give you the example. Just this morning, somebody said, do you think, blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, you decide, which they probably wanted me to just give them an answer. But I was like, I don't matter to me because I don't think either answer would have been wrong. Does that make sense? And I think there are times where God's like, hey, listen, I'm with you wherever you go. But just a few verses prior, there were boundaries. Yeah. I'm with you wherever you go inside this north, south, east, west reality for your life. Write this down. This is the application of the day for you. Is this. This is what I feel like God has for us. Is that the Spirit frees us to move. Remember, the Spirit moves. Always doing a new thing. Always moving. But the Spirit does free us to move within God's boundaries for our lives. And so I want to unpack this just for a couple of minutes, and then I need to move on just for the sake of time. But this is a real thing that I think we have to kind of deeply understand, is that even though God gives us the freedom that, hey, be strong and courageous, I'm with you wherever you go, that there are still limitations to what God wants for his people. And this is where I think the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of Christ followers is so important. Because the fact of the matter is that sometimes for us to be free, we have to be in a boundary. This is the best analogy that I can think of. A train is not free until you put it on rails. Think about that. And some people, especially, I'm going to preach a second, okay? I'm going to try not to like mess you up, but I'm going to preach. Especially in this culture, we don't want anybody to tell us anything, not what to do. We don't want no rules. We don't want no limitations. Whatever we feel like is right, and we dictate our own truth. And let me tell you something. That will lead to death. Yes. I'm going to preach the truth. Because what God does for us is he keeps us in places where he's like, look, you're free to move about the cockpit, but you got to stay in the airplane. Because I just feel free. Open that door. Go ahead. Go ahead. See how you feel in about 28 seconds, you know? And so the other day I was with a guy that I hunt with, and he said something that I was like, yeah. He said this. He's a Christ follower. And he said, the reality is that God puts boundaries on us. He said, in fact, rules that we are called as Christians to follow, whether we like it or not. And I just thought to myself, I need to hear that. I need that. What I don't need is just to do whatever feels good. But like, I want to be like the train. Set me free, God. Give me my rails. Where are you calling me to go? And so this whole series is like way, like you have to apply this to your own life because the multiplicity of detailed examples that are in this room alone. I could never apply it for you. You have to apply it. But here's what I'm saying. If you're making decisions, if you're in a place where God's like, I'm with you wherever you go, where you want to go, what we're going to have to do is make sure that our decisions are within God's boundary for our lives. Because too often times, we will ignore the truth of the scripture and the boundaries that God's word places on us because we just want to feel good. And I'm just telling you that feeling good isn't always life-giving. All right, I might be spending too much time here, but this somebody just needs it. I need it. I need it. Like, just because they call me pastor doesn't make me better. It just identifies my level of responsibility and what I'm going to answer for. But my real life that I talked about, that I live in, I need to know God. I need to allow the Holy Spirit to convict me when I'm wrong. Amen. I need the Holy Spirit to speak into the areas of my life that, hey, you're getting out of bounds. Brother, come back into the place where I will bless you, where I will free you. And sometimes we can dictate why we ought to go across the boundary. Yeah, but God, listen, we want to explain. Hang on. God, let me give you my logic, right? If I was to do the, you know, like missionary dating, y'all ever heard of that? Like, I know he doesn't love Jesus, but he's got a job. God, it's a good one. And if I just start dating him and inviting him to the church, that, you know, maybe then he'll give his life to Jesus. When he's more like, let's have him give his life to Jesus before we engage in relational kind of thing. Before we go get married to this guy, before we go out there and we actually make a covenant relationship with somebody, let's do it in my boundaries because I can bless you there. Let's do it in the parameters that I've given north, south, east, west, because that's where my favor is. You want freedom? Get on my rails. I'm going to take you to the place that you want to go if you'll trust me. And so the application for us today is this: as we decide this decisive direction, or if we respond obediently to the overwhelming reality of the decisive direction that God is speaking into our hearts, we need to be able to understand that there's a north, a south, an east, and a west. And the only way that we are going to understand what that is, everybody, is this right here. The Holy Bible, the Word of God. It's imperative that the follower of Jesus spend time in this book understanding how God thinks, how God operates, how God moves, how God works, how God speaks. This right here will determine all my freedom. This right here will determine all my boundaries. It's all in there. All of it is in this book. And so as we move toward decisive directions in our lives, as God does things in us because he's doing things in us, then we have to walk in obedience with the truth of Scripture. Say amen. I mean, that's true. I mean, like it or not, that's the truth. It really, really is. So we've talked about some what. Man, we're just trying to move with the Spirit as a church, and there you go. That's for you, the individual. And I'm going to talk about why. Why would we do this? Why would we do this? I've already gotten some questions. Man, have you thought about, you know how many meetings I've been? All right. We've been thinking. Why? I'm gonna give you some stats real fast. You ready? Just some stats. This year, we've had 102 individual families visit our church since the start of 2021, and we weren't even open in January. All right, we've had 102 families visit our church. We currently have 225 people that participate in 28 different life groups in our church right now. Can I give you a bonus one that I didn't put in print? We have 219 people that serve on our serve team right now at Church on the Rock. All right, our first Saturday outreach team, we've had a cumulative number of 110 volunteers serve so far this year. We're on target to complete over 500 hours of community service hours in our region as we reach out to the people in our city and beyond. That's this year alone. We've had 153 volunteers served at 13 different projects at our Serve Day that happens every July. Come on, how many of y'all are part of Serve Day? Yeah. 153 people showed up, and we made a difference in 13 different sites where we got to pray for people, communicate the gospel to people, give hope to people, do things for people they couldn't afford to do for themselves or weren't able to do for themselves. That's what you did at Serve Day. Here we're going to get to some good numbers. We have 21 people make decisions to follow Jesus in our church this year. Come on, I think that's like the best one. That's documented. Like they gave us their information and said, this is the decision that I've made. 21 people have made those decisions to walk with Jesus this year alone. We've had 36 people just come back to walking with God. That, you know, like I was wandering and I'm coming back. 36. We've had 31 people put on what we call the wedding band of salvation, like to make a public declaration of their faith in front of an audience of people that, hey, I went down a certain way. I've been washed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and I'm raised a new person in Christ. And they declared it to the world, 31 people, like, this is what it's about for us. Amen, everybody? Life change right here. So here's what I want to say, and I think this is in your notes where you can write. Listen, some people, and I'm gonna push on you a little bit, because some people are like, why are you guys all about the numbers? It might not be how they said it. But it might be how I heard it. And I've had people push back. Like, was it all about the numbers? Here's the question I love to ask. How many people did Jesus feed with some bread and some fish? 5,000. How many disciples did Jesus have? How do we know this? Because somebody counted. I'm just saying. Somebody counted. Because, everybody, listen, every number has a name. Is it all about the numbers? It's about the names that the number represents. That's what it's about. Every number has a name. So it's not the numbers. It's the name of that number. That's what we care about. Is it all about the numbers? No, it's all about people. It's all about reaching people with the life-giving message of Jesus that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's what it's all about. And listen to me carefully. Every name has a story. Every one of them. So are we all about the numbers? Well, if it means we're about people, then yes. 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 And I'm not trying to say, are you guys trying to be seeker friendly? Well, if people are seeking, I'd like to be friendly. I don't know. Like, yeah? Yeah. But I'm also going to stand on the platform and declare the truth of God's word, whether people like it or not. And we're going to make sure that we actually disciple people and speak into people's lives and actually care for them. And I can't tell you how many of the leaders inside of this church have tough conversations with people because we love them enough to do it. We're not trying to fill rooms. We're trying to fill heaven. And I just want to make sure that this church family understand why. Why would you take a move like this? I think it's a little bit risky to do what we're doing, quite frankly. I think it's a little bit risky. But listen, if we fall, let's just fall on our faces, making an attempt to go forward, then fall on our backs, standing on our heels. Come on, somebody. All right, now listen, I think that I could continue to communicate, but quite honestly, I think that we said that every number has a name, and every name has a story, and we've been trying to give you stories. And so what I want you to do is just sit back for a minute. I want you to hear Hannah's story.
My name is Hannah Duff, and I've been attending Church on the Rock for about 3 years now. When I first started coming to Church on the Rock, my husband and I came here because of Lauren and Pastor Josh, and the church has made it possible to learn and to feel the love and the graciousness and everything that God has. No matter how far you've fallen, you can come to God and He will love you and accept you. I have had a crazy life to get to this point today. I was a child of a divorced home. Struggled with depression and anxiety in school. And then I had a baby when I was 16. and struggled a lot with that, being a young mom and trying to figure out life. And I had my parents and my family, which was amazing, but you still struggle. And my struggling led me to dropping out of school, led me to hanging out with the wrong crowds of people, and then to drugs. And I did that for probably 15 years, and I lost my faith. And it was a very dark time. And then I got in trouble, and I went away for a couple of years and struggled to get my life back, looking for Christ, and being so angry all the time. You know, and it took me a long time. You know, after getting out of prison and coming home, I found myself right back in the same life that I was leading before. You know, it's insanity, doing the same thing, hoping to get a different result, and you never do. It's same struggles, same pains. And I was tired of living my life. I needed a change. I felt like, you know, God was calling me out of the darkness and pulling me back to Him. And I had to follow. The drugs and the partying had just worn, you know, me down to the point where I no longer wanted to get up in the morning. I was ready to die. And I couldn't allow myself to do that because I would hurt too many people. And so I said, that's enough. And I asked God, you know, just help me get through this. And He did. And here I am today. I have a wonderful life today, a wonderful family. Well, I've always had a wonderful family, but they see the growth and they see what Christ has done in our lives. And, you know, it's called other family to come to church because they see the growth and the transformation in mine and my husband's lives. I would not be here today if God wouldn't have picked me up. So I've been sober since 2016. Within a month of making that decision, I was in school and on the path to being a welder. And, you know, God opened doors for me to start a business since I've been sober. I have a cleaning business, and He's brought 5 wonderful grandchildren to us. And, you know, a wonderful home. He has done so much in our lives and changed it for the better. I would not have anything I have today if I wouldn't have made the decision to change my life. I am forever grateful.
Yeah, so that story is very personal to me. Because Hannah and my wife are first cousins. I've actually known Hannah longer than I've known my wife. And we went to grade school together when we were really little. And got some funny stories that we could tell. And a couple embarrassing ones too. But, you know, her story is an example of what God does when He moves in a people like us, right? And so if you're apprehensive, like, oh, don't know if this is a good idea. I would like to transparently say, I'm apprehensive because I don't know if this is a good idea. But like, let's try something, because I would like to have more Hannah stories, Marcus stories. I'd like to reach more people with this good news of Jesus. And Jesus said it himself, and this is where we're going to close right here, everybody. I'm going to do it quick. But Jesus said it himself in Matthew chapter 9. He said, he looked at his disciples and he said, look, the harvest is plentiful. There's so many people that need to have a story about Jesus. There's so many people that are broken and lost and hurting, bound. There's so many of them. And he said, but these workers are few, so ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. I'm going to tell you right now, as a pastor, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because it's the harvest that is motivating to me. It's the harvest. I want people that don't know Jesus to know him. I want people that live in bondage to be free. I want people that didn't think they could go to certain heights, go higher than those heights because of the power of God in their lives. I want more people to meet in our church and get married, like what's going to happen today. I want life-giving things to continue to happen because we're motivated by a ripe and ready harvest. What we got to be, though, is the people that said, we'll do what it takes. We'll do what it takes. Let's try some stuff. Let's be faithful. Let's be a little radical if we need to. But let's go reach those people, because there's a promise, everybody. And here's the promise from, man, if I only had one verse to have memorized, it might be this one, because the Bible promises that if anyone, I want you to think of the one person in your family that you work with, the one person that you could never imagine their heart being changed toward Christ. I want you to think of the worst person you can imagine right now. I want you to think of them. If anyone is in Christ, what happens? They become a new creation. They're not that person anymore. That's not who they are. No, the old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, as we finish today and wrap up this series, I want to candidly, outwardly, openly ask you this morning, if you're in this room, if you're tuning in online, and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I would like to just overtly ask you, would you make that decision right now? Would you do it? We had a number of 21 salvations, 21 people that made a commitment to follow Jesus for the first time in this church. Would you make that number go to 22, 23, 24? I don't even want to like hold back with the question. Because if you will be in Christ, you will be a new creation. The old things will go away, and behold, all things, the Bible says, will become new. So here's how we do it here. I like to lead us in a prayer, and I always tell people there's really nothing special about this prayer. The special part is what the Holy Spirit does. That's what I can't do. He changes our hearts. And I honestly believe that that's already happened. And so all I want to do is just guide you. I just want to help you get there. I want to lead you in a prayer. A church family, you know how we do it. I ask everybody in this room to say this prayer out loud with me. Because if you're saying it for the first time, I really want you to be able to say it with boldness and with confidence. This is an important moment, and we want to support you in it. Even if you're at home today, you're just tuning in online, or maybe you're traveling and you're in the car with your family, would you say this prayer? Who knows? Who knows? Who may be saying it around you for the very first time? Here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's congratulate those that made that decision. Congratulations. Congratulations.